on this episode of Rev Hang.
Complete 10 laps of Indianapolis Motor Speedway on a Razor scooter.
Maybe. Is pirate? Can I endorse piracy?
The man cannot be stopped. He puts the gas in Gasly.
Sprint races are great for spending 5 minutes of my time watching the highlights.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I'm Nathan, and alongside me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How's it going, Ben?
Pretty good. I'm realizing that I'm playing with a piece of Velcro that I should put down before it messes with my mic too much.
Yeah, probably wise on a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, that was so loud. Hopefully you didn't hear that. But yeah, aside from that, it's pretty good. I tried to get my oil changed today. I'm lazy and it's cold outside, so I went to Valvoline, and it was an hour wait is what they said it would be, so I just went home. So we'll try another day.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, try another day for sure. I need to get mine done too. But anyway, this is not a to-do list podcast. This is a racing podcast, so let's get into it. With some paddock news, the only thing, well, actually I missed something. Ben just so kindly reminded me. First thing, Perez is possibly, maybe leaving Red Bull at the end of this season. We have not confirmed news, but we know that it is apparently Perez's choice whether he stays or goes at the end of the year. But that's not really how it seems.
Yeah, no, it sounds more like he can either leave on good terms or be pushed out.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like. Just by the way, everything's breaking. Either quit or you're fired kind of thing. So, interesting stuff. We'll probably either see Yuki Tsunoda or Liam Lawson in that Red Bull next season, because Red Bull has stated they are no longer interested in Colapinto. More on that later.
Because he crashed 3 times in the past 2 races?
Because he's crashed 7 times in the past 6 races or something.
Ooh, that's
crazy,
even better
like
stat.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that is that. Next piece of paddock news we have is Ocon. Esteban, the best man, is not going to be racing for Alpine in the last race of the season. It was apparently decided mutually that they would part ways, but we all know what mutual means in F1. Not mutual.
Yeah, it sounds like it was an ultimatum where he could either... The previous agreement was that he would be able to do some testing at the end of the week at Abu Dhabi with Haas and still finish out his last race with Alpine. And then it sounds like team management reneged on that and said, if you want to do your testing with Haas next week, then you're not going to race for us at Abu Dhabi. And he said, see you later.
Which is fair. He's not fighting for championship or anything, and he can get a jump start on next season, so I don't see why not. But a little unfortunate. We will see, fortunately, Jack Doohan for the first time in an F1 race. So that will be interesting. He will be racing for the last race of the season only, and then, of course, he'll be at Alpine next season. So we'll get a sneak peek into what he can do in an F1 car past just FP1 sessions.
Yeah, too bad it can't be a little less soured.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Wish it was under
maybe
better
circumstances. Make a good impression.
Maybe. All right, let's move on to the Grand Prix. We did have a sprint race this weekend, which the more we see, the less I like them. I just want my good old-fashioned Grand Prix.
Sprint races are great for spending 5 minutes of my time watching the highlights.
Yeah. I mean, I watch them, but I understand. They're not generally that exciting. The qualifying order is generally not too much different than the finishing order. But, so this one was actually okay. Not because of overtaking, but just because of the championship fight and that whole narrative, and then Piastri Russell was pretty solid, but we'll get into that in a sec. First, let's go through the top 10 in sprint qualifying. We had Lando Norris, George Russell, Oscar Piastri, Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, 6 to 10, we had Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, Pierre Gasly, Nico Hülkenberg, and Liam Lawson. All right. Sprint highlights. Lando maintained the lead on the start for once in his life. Piastri passed Russell. Piastri passed Russell into turn two. And then Piastri spent most of the race defending P2 from Russell until the last lap when Lando pulled off to the side of the road on the start-finish straight and let Piastri cross the finish line in first, and he still maintained his second place, which the amount of timing and judgment that you have to do that successfully is pretty nuts, but he made it work.
It's a lot of math.
A lot of math. So, sprint results. Top five were Piastri, Norris, Russell, Sainz, and Leclerc. 6-10 were Hamilton, Hülkenberg, Verstappen, Gasly, and Magnussen. 11-15, we had Alonso, Bottas, Stroll, Ocon, and Albon. And 16-20 were Lawson, Tsunoda, Colapinto, Zhou, and Perez. And forgot to mention that Perez had a pit lane start, as did Colapinto. And the green light came on for him to for Perez to go at the beginning of his race. And he just sat there for like 5 seconds, did nothing, and then decided to go. And by that time, Colapinto had already driven past him because he didn't know what Perez was doing, and neither did anybody else on the planet.
Imagine just you're the Red Bull second driver starting from pit lane, and you get passed in the pit lane by a rookie in a Williams.
Yeah, and he's not even breaking the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. All right, let's move on to the Grand Prix, unless you have some thoughts on the sprint race, Ben.
I have no thoughts on the sprint race.
Neither do I. Yeah. Pretty generic. All right. Qualifying for the Grand Prix. George Russell was not on pole position on merit, but he was on pole position for the race due to a... one place grid penalty for Max Verstappen for impeding another driver, a penalty that has never been given ever in F1 history. And I'm sorry if you hear my cat wailing in the background. I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. All right. So moving on. Russell.
He's also mad at the FIA this weekend.
Yeah, for real. The FIA was a nightmare this weekend, which we're about to find out. Russell was on pole, followed by Verstappen and Norris. 4 and 5 were Piastri, Leclerc. 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Sainz, Alonso, Perez, and Magnussen. Moving into the race, Verstappen took the lead of the race at turn 1 from Russell and defended his position from Norris at turn 2. Colapinto, Hülkenberg, and Ocon crashed in turn 1. Ocon and Colapinto's races were over as a result of that. Hamilton had a false start, so he got a 5-second penalty, or was it 10? It might have been 10. I don't remember. He got a penalty for that.
10-second, I think.
Was it? Yeah. Piastri passed Leclerc for P4 on the safety car restart after they cleaned up the Colapinto-Ocon fiasco. Gasly worked his way through the field in the middle of the race. Russell had a slow pit stop, ruining his race. He got dropped behind a bunch of midfielders. On lap 30, Albon's mirror flew off the car and landed in the middle of the track. Lando did not slow down for the yellow flags that ensued and got a 10-second stop-and-go penalty. 4 laps later, Bottas hit the mirror, shattering it. Hamilton and Sainz got punctures from the broken glass, effectively ending their races. The safety car was finally deployed after all of that happened. We will definitely talk about that a little more.
Did you get Hamilton's 5-second penalty that happened right after that?
Was there another one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember what happened.
He got like a 5-second stop and go.
It was for speeding in the pit lane, I think, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, speeding in the pit lane. He got a 5-second stop and go penalty.
There were many.
Dropped him right to the back of the grid.
There were many penalties in this race. I can't keep track of all of them.
I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah. Perez had a mechanical failure after the safety car restart, ending his race on that same lap. In fact, in the next corner, Hülkenberg spun out and ended his race in the gravel, and that brought out another safety car. Verstappen was able to cruise to an easy victory after Lando Norris served his 10-second stop-and-go penalty. Let's move into the results. My cat is deciding now going is the insane. Time to be spastic. This is not only a day late, but this podcast is already becoming something of a...
It's the pet podcast.
Yeah. A little cursed, this one.
I had to spend 5 minutes tuning my mic so I could cancel out the sound of my dog chewing on a toy behind me because she didn't want to be outside the office.
Only the pros at Rofang.
Yeah.
The pet
podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Race results. Max Verstappen won the race, followed by Leclerc and Piastri. 4 and 5 were Russell and Gasly. 6 through 10 were Sainz, Alonso, Zhou, Magnussen, and Norris. Yes, I said Zhou. Guan Yu Zhou for Sauber with a P8, scoring 4 points for his team.
Yep.
The absolute legend. All right. 11 through 15, we had Bottas, Hamilton, Tsunoda, Lawson, and Albon. That rounds off the finishers. We had 5 DNFs this race. It felt like more, but it was only 5. We had Hülkenberg, Perez, Stroll, Colapinto, and Ocon. Forgot to mention Stroll's DNF. I think he hit somebody in the first lap and it broke his car or something. Sounds like I'm just trashing Stroll for no reason, but that's actually what happened. So,
that's what happens. Yeah.
I can't defend him.
I can't remember.
It was one of them. It might have been Albon, actually. I think it was Albon.
Maybe he's one of the blue cars.
Like Albon?
Yeah.
Okay. Talking points. FIA, worst race I've ever seen. Not even close.
This is pretty bad.
Not worst race in terms of entertainment value, but like in terms of how it was run. Okay, not worst. This is up there with Abu Dhabi 2021, but
one in Rome.
This one though,
or one in the Middle East,
I guess so. This one though was more consistent throughout the race, whereas Abu Dhabi lasted for like 6 laps. So this one was the entire race was just a nightmare. They didn't know what they were doing, it seemed. The new race director clearly has no idea what he's doing. They're just handing out these random penalties that they've never handed out before.
They're watching too much IndyCar. They're just like, stop and go. Why not?
Something like that. IndyCar doesn't even do stop-goes, I don't think. They might, but like usually it's a drive-through.
You're right.
It's a drive-through.
Yep.
So the whole races where weird penalties are handed out, it's one thing. Then there's the whole thing where there's a large piece of debris laying on the track in the middle of the road right off the racing line, and they let it go with double waved yellows for 4 laps and then wait another half a lap after 2 people hit the debris and get punctures. 3 people hit the debris, 2 of them get punctures. They waited half a lap after that to decide, hey, safety car might be a good idea, when they should have just thrown it basically immediately. It was dangerous. I mean, there's been so many cases of debris killing drivers just as much as crashes do. Like, Dan Weldon in IndyCar got hit by debris and he was instantly dead. It was, I hate seeing this.
Yeah.
But
there's no aero screen in F1.
No, that's the thing. That's why the aero screen was introduced, was for debris. And F1, doesn't have that. And so you got to clear the debris off the track or else someone could get really hurt. And, it just didn't seem like they knew what they were doing. And I don't think they did. So that was a whole fiasco. And
no, you could tell it's coming from qualifying with the Verstappen penalty.
Yeah. With the one place grid penalty, which I don't know if has ever happened before.
Yeah, it's not, because Russell wasn't on a flying lap, neither was Verstappen. Verstappen probably shouldn't have been on the racing line if he was going slower, but Russell also wasn't on a flying lap, was he?
No, neither of them were.
So if it's not a 3-place grid penalty, which is what it would be if he was on a flying lap, then it probably should be nothing?
Exactly.
Maybe?
It didn't actually affect Russell at all, in terms of like his qualifying. I mean, sure, he had to like kind of drive around him because he couldn't drive through him, obviously.
But part of the whole thing was in the documentation, it was stated that Russell saw Verst happen on the racing line. And like, it wasn't like, oh, I was going to crash because I didn't see him till I was like right on the corner. It's like he saw him from the corner. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It was pretty ridiculous because, yeah, Russell wasn't on a flyer. And so why would Perez think that Russell would close in on him that quickly? And then it wasn't even that fast, though, is the thing. And I figured he was just letting Russell pass. It's not on him to get off the racing line for somebody who's not on a flying lap. So I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal was there, but.
Yeah, if it's not going to be a three-place grid penalty, then it should probably be nothing.
Yeah. And then Lando with his 10-place stop go or 10-second stop go, I think that is actually technically in the rule book what the penalty should be. But they never enforced that rule. Like, you can't tell me that at least 4, 5, 6 other drivers did not lift on that straight for the double wave yellows.
Yeah.
And it was only enforced because Verstappen brought it up, as he should have. He was smart too. And that penalty was slapped on Norris. And
yeah,
and all the other races, every single race there's yellow flags. And I'm sure that not every single, all 20 drivers don't lift if the yellow flag's on a straight, especially.
Yeah, and there should be a penalty for going too fast on a yellow, no matter the circumstance, because, you know, it's a safety thing and you got to make sure that's enforced. But that's such a harsh penalty for it.
Yeah. Well, I agree that it should be a penalty. I'm just saying they don't enforce it consistently. And so that's what's frustrating to me. They seem to just make an example out of Lando, which I guess is fair enough, but I hope they actually enforce this. And every single time someone speeds under yellows, they get a 10-second stop go or a grid drop if it's in qualifying or whatever. I don't. It just seems like this has to be way more common of an offense than it is actually penalized to me.
Yeah, it opens a whole can of worms in terms of precedent. And if there's one thing the FIA is bad at, it's maintaining precedents.
Yeah, that's an understatement. So, yeah, FIA was pretty atrocious this race. They were handing out weird penalties, making horrible decisions.
I've never seen a 5-second stop go for speeding in the pit lane either.
Yeah, no, it's a 5-second penalty every time. It always has been. It always should be, unless it's insanely excessive. But I think Hamilton just forgot to put his pit limiter on, and he slowed down the second he knew something was off. It's always been 5 seconds. So,
yeah,
I don't know what the deal was there.
No, because a drive-through or a stop-go, whatever you want to call it, that's at minimum, you know, most tracks, a 25-second penalty, even for a 5-second stop-go.
Yep.
If there's no tire change or anything like that happened, which you might as well tire change if you're going to be stuck there.
You can't work on the car during a stop-go.
Stop-go, but, like, after, right?
No, after, like, after
oh,
you
no,
stop,
it's,
you mean?
It's different than a...
No, it's
no,
basically a drive-through,
right.
But you have to stop.
Serving a penalty during your pit, right?
Yeah.
So, 25 to 30 seconds, which is essentially, you know, how many places are you dropping, especially if you're at the front of the grid?
Yeah, it's essentially a forced pit stop and a half-ish. Plus, not to mention that Qatar has one of the longest pit stops on the calendar. I think it's a 28 or 29-second pit stop total. So a 10-second stop and go to that is essentially a 40-second penalty.
Yeah, and that's what you saw with Lando and Hamilton when they took theirs. It dropped them both to the back of the grid when they took them.
Yeah, it's a miracle that Lando even scored points in this race.
I was impressed to see Hamilton as high up as he was, because his was even later on in the race.
Yeah. Both of them drove really well. Hamilton was a little more dejected. It felt like he just wanted to stop. He's like, I'm done.
Wanted to park the car.
Yeah, he's like, retire the car. And they're like, no. And then the next lap, Mercedes was like, retire the car. And Hamilton's like, no. So, I don't know what's going on there, but it was kind of comical. So that is the FIA disaster class of a race. Let's talk about Guanyu Zhou scoring points for Sauber, which means...
Are you a new Sauber fan?
Oh, I've been a Sauber
Die
fan.
Die hard now?
I have been a Sauber fan. Now I have no reason to be a Sauber fan. So this might have ended my Sauber fanship.
You were a Sauber fan before it was cool, before they scored points.
Yeah, exactly. But not after. I just wanted them to score points one time.
Okay.
No, of course. Joe scored points, which means I'm not on the hook to drink hot sauce. However, I think I will still have a little bit.
You can have a little bit, yeah.
I'm not going to do the full shot.
Chip in it. Yeah.
I'm not going to do the full gulp of it, but I will take.
I'll do
taste
the shot.
It. Yeah.
There'll still be carnage.
There we go. I will take a little taste of it, so you get to see me suffer a little bit, just not as much as I would have otherwise.
Yeah, and I'm going to tank it.
I
know I'm probably underestimating it. I'm probably just absolutely going to flounder, but
you are very confident.
I'm optimistic.
Ben. I am very excited to see how this goes. I actually have a lot of faith in you, though. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I ate a lot of ramen, so.
There you
really,
go.
I really
Some
gotta
ramen,
prep for it.
Some ramen is insanely spicy.
I'd mainly go for the Shin Ramen Black or the standard red stuff. So.
That is a very...
That's decently spicy.
That's a pretty hot one. Yeah.
It's a different kind of spice, but...
Yeah. It's, yeah. But still very hot and painful. Anyway, Gasly with a P5.
Dude's been raking it in.
The man cannot be stopped. He puts the gas in Gasly. I'm
if
sure
only he were in, not an Alpine.
Right. I'm sure that joke has never been made before.
Yeah. Can you imagine if he was going to Haas instead of Ocon?
That would be so tragic. I can't even. Actually, I don't know. Haas has been better this year, but they're still... I mean, they're on the same level as Ocon, essentially, right now. Or as Alpine.
I feel like they've done way better, though, this season.
Haas? Oh, yeah, way better. But they're still a midfield car. And Alpine is way better than they were at the beginning of the season.
Okay, that's fair.
So I think they're both, in terms of how the car is, I think they're pretty close to each other. I think Aston Martin is in that same conversation. I think Aston Martin might be slower, actually, than those two. But Fernando's...
Yeah, they got a head start at the start of the season, but
yeah,
really tailed off.
Every year. This is the third year in a row that's happened. But they start really strong.
Anthony McLaren.
Yep, exactly. Weird stuff there. All right, so Colapinto has been struggling. Talked about that a little bit earlier. Lots of crashes in the last few races. It all started right after I said, the guy never crashes, he's great. I think I jinxed him
a
little
work.
Bit. Yeah, great job. I understand why Red Bull doesn't want him anymore, and I was wrong. My position on him has changed.
I wish him luck in his future Formula E endeavors.
That's a good way to put it, Ben. I actually would prefer IndyCar, but Formula E works too.
Beal can't wait to see him as a reserve driver sitting right next to Mick.
Yeah, right.
Although Mick's out as a reserve driver after this year.
Yeah, I think he might be going to IndyCar, though. So it's possible. Maybe.
That'd be a fun little name recognition there.
Yeah. All right.
It could be finally the year that IndyCar makes it big. All it took was a Schumacher.
Yeah, right. All right, Hamilton has also struggled the last few races, probably just due to him getting the second choice parts and upgrades, since Russell is the new number one driver at Mercedes, since obviously Lewis is leaving. It is a little odd to see him a half second off his teammate the last few weeks, but it is what it is, and I'm sure there's a reason for it, and I'm sure he'll be fine when he goes to Ferrari and will probably match or at least challenge Leclerc in some sense. All right. Alpine, we talked about. They jumped Haas in the championship. Fun little fact. So they took that position back after we're like, yeah, all Haas needs to do is score 2 points, and they got the position back. Well, they did score 2 points last week. They scored like 6 points or something like that. And then Alpine scored 10 this week. So... great job to Alpine, I guess.
yeah, that's crazy to me. that they just leapfrogged like that.
Yeah.
Because they were a decent bit behind.
Yeah, they were a ways behind for a long time. It's like the last half of the season, they just turned it on and they're scoring points now. So that's pretty sweet. And Bottas is no longer last in the championship. He has passed Logan Sargeant, so he's now in 22nd place out of 20 drivers instead of 23rd.
Wow.
It has been quite the year.
That was a hard-fought battle for him.
It really was.
I'm proud of him, though.
He's got one race to score 5 points. Probably 4, actually, if he would get that. Well, 8. I don't know. I think if he got 8th, he would finish 20th out of 20 cars ahead of his teammate. So I think that should be his goal. I got to see P8 from Bottas next week.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, right. That'd be quite the drive, like Joe had this week. All right. Now let's go through our standings. Well, we don't really need to. Actually, Leclerc is only 8 points behind Norris in the Drivers' Championship. I didn't notice that. For the astute-minded of you, you might know that that is the difference between first place in the fastest lap and second place. Just saying. And since Leclerc has more wins than Lando this year, Leclerc would actually finish second in that tying scenario. But that is for us to find out in a week's time.
There's a lot of fun little battles that are getting decided in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. If you're not concerned about, well, even if you are concerned about the championship, the constructors, that is the main battle we're watching. But yeah, we got this battle for P2 in the championship as well. I think after everything he's been through, for Leclerc to finish P2 in the championship would be a nice little payoff for him.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's actually more likely than it might seem.
Yeah, then you got Gasly versus Hulkenberg.
Yep, Gasly and Hulkenberg are separated by 1 point, as are Stroll and Ocon, Albon and
yeah,
Ricciardo.
Yeah, that's not going to go anywhere.
Albon and Ricciardo were tied at 12, so Albon needs to just score a point.
Yeah, Stroll just needs to not get points subtracted, and he'll beat Ocon.
Yeah, I forgot about... I keep forgetting that Ocon is not racing next week. So that is where Ocon will finish. So we're going to actually have 24 entries in this season. And Bottas will probably finish he'll probably finish 22nd. I can't imagine doing all score points on his outing, on his first outing. He might.
Looking good.
He might. Yeah, for sure. All right.
Indy 500 out here.
Well, not quite. If we have 32 cars on the grid next year, then we'll talk. But that seems a little excessive. Imagine the chaos. The turn
Send
one chaos every week.
Send him to Michigan Super Speedway.
Oh, man. F1 cars on a super speedway. That can only go well, because it definitely has in the past.
It'd be like such a fun, like a reality TV show, like challenge, or like a game show challenge, where like they don't know where they're going to race next. And then as like a wild card race, they have to go to a super speedway. They'll have to dress in ridiculous outfits. More ridiculous outfits.
That does sound interesting and fun. I don't know how the logistics of that would work, but yeah, that would be pretty cool. Just randomly drop you in on a random racetrack. Doesn't even have to be FIA grade 1.
Yeah, they hit the randomizer and they're like, congratulations, you're going to Road America, and you'll be driving a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Complete 10 laps of Indianapolis Motor Speedway on a Razor scooter. The longest, that would be longer than the Indy 500.
You must draft. Yeah. Whoever's in front will not win.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the Constructors' Championship. McLaren is still in the lead by only 21 points, which in Constructors, one race and 21 points is not that much. We'll see what happens there. McLaren obviously clearly still has an advantage, but they are not completely out of the woods yet. And then Red Bull is too far behind. They are officially out of the championship hunt. They cannot win it. And Mercedes are in the same boat, as are the rest of the teams. All right, pit stop championship time. In first place this week, we had Sergio Perez, followed by Piastri, Bottas, Verstappen, and Norris. 6 through 10 were Russell, Alonso, Hülkenberg, Leclerc, and Magnussen. And going into the standings, nothing has changed. It is Perez and Verstappen out front. Norris took over third place, I guess, is the one thing that's changed. So Norris is in third place, followed by Leclerc now. And Piastri's not too far behind.
Constructors. As an overall look, it's really interesting to see how far ahead Perez's pit stops in general were ahead of Verstappen's.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close. Do you think that's because he had more pit stops than Verstappen?
No, because it's only based on your fastest. I guess it does give you more opportunity.
More opportunities. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
It's possible, but Perez has been...
There's got to be some metadata.
Yeah, Perez has been good at pit stops since he got to Red Bull, though. So I do think there is actually an amount of driver skill involved in the pit stops. You have to hit your marks perfectly. And I think Perez is probably just more consistent at that than most other drivers. Because if you miss your marks, then the team has to adjust where they're waiting or where they're where they're sitting at with the wheel guns and such. So I think Perez just hits it perfectly every single time, and that's why his pit stops tend to be on average faster. But that could be completely separate from the reason. I just see no reason why any teammates should be that far apart.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah, Perez is, we missed it probably by several weeks, but Perez is officially the pit stop champion.
He's only ahead by 72 points.
72 points going into the last race. So, yeah. I bet you he probably won it in, like, either, it was Mexico, probably like Brazil or Mexico, Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely. So, all right. Red Bull is in front in the Constructors. They have also won the championship, followed by McLaren and Ferrari, then Mercedes and RB. Yep.
All the places are pretty much set at this point.
Pretty much. Further down the grid, it's not quite as... Well, actually, it is pretty spread out now that you say it.
Haas has a chance to have some really good pit stops and beat Williams, and that's it.
That's about it. Haas needs to have a good pit stop. Which, who knows? I mean, I was looking at it on my spreadsheet today, and I was looking at how, like, you know, I have to do some stuff in the formulas and add each race to the formula for each driver. Anyway, the amount of points that Hülkenberg and Magnussen have scored, or the amount of races that they have scored in, is like so much lower than everybody else. It's kind of crazy. it's pretty funny. I think Hülkenberg has like been top 10 in pit stops in like 5 races this year.
That's crazy.
So yeah, not super great. I don't know what the deal is. I think Haas just has not the best pit crew is probably what's going on there. But they're a very small team, so, you know, it comes with the territory.
It kind of makes sense, yeah.
All right, overtake of the week. I gave this to Charles Leclerc for his overtake on Lewis Hamilton on lap 13 of the sprint. It was a wheel-to-wheel battle for, like, 4 corners, and Leclerc was able to come out on top with the pass, so he gets the point, because otherwise there weren't any super crazy overtakes this week. Lots of crashing, yeah. Though, so...
have a best crash award.
Best crash award probably goes to Sergio Perez in Monaco, or there's got to be. We should do that for the last episode. We'll find the best crash of the year.
Yeah.
There's got to be some good ones. Colapinto's got a lot of entries, probably.
Yeah.
Logan Sargeant is still in the running to win something this year. Savage.
If he races for Myers Shank in IndyCar next year, it'll probably be the only thing he wins for a while.
Yeah, most likely. Speaking of which, I don't know if we actually announced this. In the last couple episodes, but Stingray Rob got re-signed by
Oh yeah.
somebody. I don't remember who signed him. It might have been Maya Shank.
Bro's got that prey.com money.
Dude, how is he getting a third season in this sport?
Money.
Yeah. He has a cool and marketable name, but that's about it.
Yeah.
All he's got going for him, man. Does he make the team more money than he causes damage on the car? Is that...
He's got to.
I guess.
He's got to. It's a Perez situation.
Yeah, for real. That guy just got... He essentially got promoted for being the worst... the consistently the worst driver in IndyCar. Oh, man. All right.
Imagine if it's Logan Sargeant, former F1 driver, and Stingray Rob, Prey.com's strongest soldier on the same team.
Oh, man. The Eagles are screaming, Ben. All right, let's move on to our predictions for this week and wrap this episode up. Qatar this week, top five were Verstappen, Leclerc, Piastri, Russell, and Gasly. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Leclerc, Russell, Verstappen, Sainz, and Hamilton with Perez as my dark horse, all of which were wrong.
Oof. I did a little better. I got three right. I had Verstappen, Hamilton, Norris, Russell, Leclerc, and Gasly as my dark horse. So I got my dark horse, and then I got Russell in fourth and Verstappen in first. So I will absolutely
nice.
Take
You're
that.
You're swimming in it.
Yeah, it feels good. All right, fastest lap, what you got?
I actually got this one. It was Norris.
It was Norris. I said Perez. It was not Perez. Driver of the day, what did you say, Ben?
I had Leclerc for this one.
I had Verstappen, and everybody saw this coming. It was Zhou Guanyu.
Well, we didn't see it coming last week.
No. But during the race, absolutely. We didn't really mention it much in the race recap, but Joe, particularly, both Saubers really, looked actually pretty quick in the midfield this week. Joe was able to pass a lot of people. So I don't know if that car is finally finding something or if maybe this was just the perfect track for them. But they actually looked pretty good this week, which I don't think we've said about Sauber this year yet.
Yeah, that's crazy. They really just waited till the last minute.
Yeah, they really did. But
because they didn't bring any car changes, did they?
They probably have.
If they brought a car change to the last two races, but who knows?
I bet they probably have, but like, no one really hears about it because I don't think anyone really cares at this point.
Yeah.
So there is that. But all right, Abu Dhabi Grand Prix predictions, the last race of the season, the last predictions of the season. Give me your final top five for this year, Ben.
I'm going to say Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz, and Piastri in fifth place. And I'm going to put Gasly as my dark horse this time.
Good call. Good call. I have Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, Russell, and Sainz with Alonso as my dark horse. Don't know why.
That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Yeah. I don't know why I have Alonso as dark horse, but that's what I went with. So here we are. All right.
One last push.
One last push. Fastest lap, Ben. Who do you got?
Lando Norris.
I have Oscar Piastri. So we each went with McLaren and driver of the day.
If Doohan doesn't crash, there's a chance.
There's actually a very good chance. I didn't consider that, but I like it. I said Verstappen. Probably, I don't know. There's no real good reason, but there never is for driver of the day.
If he wins, then he probably will get it.
Maybe, especially if it's a hard-fought race.
Yeah.
Maybe he qualifies low and then wins after passing everybody. So
we'll see.
All right. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom for our lovely listeners and viewers?
Maybe. Is pirate? Can I endorse piracy?
Legally, no, but go for it.
I'll just say, like, owning your own stuff and having, like, it not attached to a subscription. Like, having your own music on a hard drive that you can just take with you, and there's no DRM or anything like that preventing you from listening to it whenever you want, is pretty neat. And there are legal ways to do it, and there are illegal ways to do it. And I, of course, only use the legal ways to do it.
Of course.
Which is how I recommend you do it. But yeah, if you have, like, old DVDs, why not burn them? if, you know, like one day Amazon Prime stops working, then you'll have a whole bunch of John Wayne DVDs to watch.
There you go. All right. Good stuff, Ben. Maybe. Buy things, people. Buy things.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
The economy.
Great things. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening and watching this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. This has been an absolutely flawless podcast with no disruptions at all, as you can clearly tell. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, everywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, the final race of the 2024 Formula One season, aside from the rookie showcase, which I don't know how I feel about that, but that's a topic for another time. Until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.